Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Guess, go ahead and guess, but I'm guessing you're going to be wrong. This is Wretched Radio, so there I am, minding my own beeswax when I receive a text from Dan Steiner of Preborn Ministries letting me know he's in Atlanta. I'm sorry, scorching hot Atlanta. And he wanted to drop in for a visit. Absolutely. This is the fellow who leads Preborn Ministries. It is perhaps the largest or even second largest. It would be on the platform. If pro-life ministries had an Olympics, they'd be on a platform. He wanted to stop by to let me know some numbers. And he forced me to guess. And I'm going to do the same to you. Guess. Go ahead and guess. How many ultrasounds have you provided? An ultrasound through Preborn is $28. For the last several years, I've encouraged you to consider saving a baby's life because 80% of the time, a woman sees her baby in the womb. She chooses life. This is saving babies every single day. Do you know how many of these $28 ultrasounds you have provided? Go ahead, guess. Guess quickly or I'll keep singing. Did you say 53,000? If that didn't stagger you, it certainly knocked me backwards because I had no idea that you were doing such an amazing job and being so kind to that ministry. That's just absolutely staggering. So if you've been one of the people who have supported Preborn with ultrasounds for $28, you should be encouraged. If we do some math, and I did because I don't have enough fingers and toes, if you take the number of 53,000 times 80%, that means 42,400 babies are alive because of you. Praise God for that. In a culture where babies are seen as an environmental hazard, I believe that's what the nominee for land management officer said back in a paper in 1992, 1993. She was writing a thesis, a paper for school. Babies are an environmental hazard. Somebody cleverly did a meme showing a baby in the middle of a field. Can you pick out the environmental hazard? Yeah, that's our world. Those who love the Lord love life. Those who don't, they hate life. They kill life. Preborn and you have been saving babies, and I thought you would be encouraged. And by the way, if you want to jump on this, preborn.org/wretched, hopefully in another year or two, I can tell you it was 100,000, which would be 80,000 babies. More good news for your consideration. We just finished filming the pilot episodes of a new TV series called Transformed. This is a biblical counseling show. Three individuals who volunteered, which, by the way, you can do too, wretched.org/casting. They were willing to be transparent and receive biblical counseling from Dr. Greg Gifford at the Masters University. And it was so amazing to see three people say, you know, this can look kind of embarrassing that I've got a weakness, but I'm willing to do it because, well, they wanted to receive some biblical counseling help, but also to help others. And they were amazing. And this show that we are producing, it won't be on until 2022, is going to shock people to understand that the Bible takes your issue and tends to flip it on its head. And we saw that over and over again with Dr. Greg Gifford. We have in biblical counseling something called the PDI. It's a personal data inventory. You fill it out. It's a number of pages long. It's sort of like what you get at the doctor's office without all of the fine print that you have no idea what it says. Instead, it actually asks you questions beyond what's your insurance number. It asks questions about your spiritual life, your physical life, your emotional life. And what we tend to do, because our brains just constantly need to have our biblical software booted, we have a tendency to think of our issue in very secular terms. There's a propensity for all of us to fall into the disease model, to use secular words that aren't biblical. And what a biblical counselor will do is take that PDI and reinterpret it. You're saying this is what God says. And so, for instance, pick whatever issue that you want, emotional issue or sin struggle that you want to. And the Bible says, no, actually, what you think is the issue is not really the, I do not believe that that issue is what that issue is that you think that it is. I have no idea what that was. The issue that is on the surface, the stuff that we're feeling, is merely fruit. Underneath it, and you've got to go down. And this is where a good biblical counselor gets into the soil of your heart to figure out the root of the problem, not the fruit, the root. So if you're struggling with an emotional issue, don't tackle that issue. Go to the root. What's causing it? Why am I doing this? What is motivating this? Because what you're going to discover is it's a sin. It's what it is. So, for instance, one of the people who was in for our Transform taping struggled with the issue of assurance. Does this ring a bell by any chance? You struggle with assurance and you think, okay, boy, this is a sin. I shouldn't be doubting God and His word. But you are. The question is not what do I do about it, but why am I doing this? Then you can take an axe, not to the limbs, but to the root. And so what could be underneath your lack of assurance? Well, there's many things, but a few would be sin. You've got a sin problem that is besetting you. And you're in a war. Now, please note, those who are in a war with sin are saved. If you're one of those people who is regularly in a panic that you're not saved because you sinned, might I just tell you that's just wrong? And not only that, now, just to clobber you a little bit, you have no idea how much you're sinning. You have a tendency to think, well, I did that sin that I've been fighting against. I wonder if I'm saved. Do you know how many other sins you've committed today? And yet you're still saved? That is what sin does, especially sexual sins. No other sin so affects the body. And so if you are falling, I didn't say diving, you're falling into sin. You're a repenting, born-again Christian. You're God's child, but that sin, even when you're at war with it and you occasionally fail, is going to cause you a lack of assurance. So that would be the root, maybe. Another potential root would be your understanding of sovereignty. Is God in control of this or not? Is He for me or against me? Does He have my back or does He not? Am I in His hand or am I out? And in the moment when you are lacking assurance, it could be that you're failing to truly trust the sovereignty of God. You're going through a bad situation. You are living through a difficult time. Maybe God doesn't have things under control, or maybe God doesn't love me. Wrong. just wrong. Now, what needs to happen here? And this is the tricky part when it comes to assurance. And I am going to continually work on trying to articulate this because so many individuals struggle with this issue. And please note, if you struggle with the subject of assurance, don't think that you're like some freaky, weird Christian. To judge somebody who is struggling with the issue of assurance, what kind of a Christian does that? Oh, what's the matter with them? Would be like saying to a human being, what? You've got a cold. What? What kind of a human being are you? Well, a human being who gets a cold and a Christian who can sin. The big question then is, how do you take that theological knowledge and have it permeate? Better word would be appropriated. How do you do that? How do you get your noggin to inform your emotions and your will and your actions? That is the million-dollar question. Perhaps it is for you. So we will try to answer that question. How do we appropriate theology that we might have assurance and joy? Next on Wretched Radio. Numbers. Who doesn't love numbers? Okay, I don't, and maybe you don't either, but you are going to be thrilled at these statistics from preborn.org. Since 2007, there have been over 500,000 pregnancy tests. Whoa. 42,000 women have professed faith in Jesus Christ, and over 123,000 babies' lives were saved. You can have a direct impact on the battle for life in a country that is increasingly opposed to life. While the government is busy trying to take the lives of more children, you and I can be saving babies and saving mommies because Preborn, they provide free ultrasounds, and they also preach the gospel. Babies get saved, and so do mommies. Would you please help grow these numbers by supporting Preborn? You can do that at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for being here and listening to Wretched Radio today. We are always so grateful when you share your wretched stories with us, or your comments, your questions, your conundrums, and your snarks. And there's two easy ways to always share with us. First, you can email Wretched at idea@wretched.org, or you can leave us a voicemail on Beep Talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. Either way, we love hearing from you. Just like this story we recently received from Callie, who says, "Hey Todd, we're so thankful for your ministry. You continue to bless our family with sound content and counseling, and we've been supporting y'all since 2010. We trust you and your counsel." Well, thank you so much, Callie. Send us more of your wretched stories, comments, questions, and conundrums and snarks at idea@wretched.org or by calling Beep Talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. idea@wretched.org or 1-877-282-BEEP. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Typical radio commercials will have one big shebang, the opening line. Do we have your attention now? This particular commercial has eight. Have we got your attention now? MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, will save the average family $500 per month. Second, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to typical health insurance. Double, that's times two if you weren't homeschooled. A massive network of providers to choose from. MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. They've been around for 25 years. $4 billion in healthcare bills have been shared. If you call them now, you will save on the joining fee. They're going to erase it. That's another $170. This is a limited time offer, which means make it snappy. Call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE. Did I mention 844-34-BIBLE to get your MediShare quote in under 2 minutes?
Know your church fathers. Irenaeus was an apologist and disciple of Polycarp, who was a disciple of the Apostle John. He served as the Bishop of Lyon and wrote Against Heresies, a refutation of Gnosticism and Docetism, in which he demonstrated the coherence and necessity of the Incarnation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes! Yes, I am. This is Wretched Radio. Brace yourself for it because you've heard it a million times. And after the 15,000th time, you started rolling your eyes. Here it is. I'm going to use it. The longest 8 inches in the world is from your head to your heart. Yep, there it is. I done did it. You've heard that statement before. And I am persuaded that that is an increasingly big issue for far too many believers. It's not that it's out of the realm of Christian experience. It's that too many are experiencing it these days. How do I know? Well, I have email and I hear from people who are struggling with it. I have eyes to read articles. I read stories. I hear quotes. I know human beings. And the issue of assurance is a massive subject. Pastor, shout out to you. You might, if you're persuaded that is true, keep that in view as you are preaching to help apply what people are using, hearing from the sermon, to appropriate it into their lives. We need to help with that bridge. Now, we can't be that bridge, but we can help with that bridge. But that kind of begs the question that we're seeking to answer today on Wretched Radio. How do you build the bridge? What materials? How do you get that transportation system put in place so that my head knowledge hits my heart? Gravity's not going to do it. You need means to become more assured and more affected because you've appropriated good theology. How do you do that? Well, I can tell you some of the ways that people wrongly do it. And this is the big one and one that we've talked about oodles o' times here on Wretched Radio. They go for an emotional experience. They go to the church concert. They go to the church show, or they go to the major event, or they travel somewhere to go to some place where they're constantly doing emotive worship, trying to get that feeling again. Then you go and you try to get that feeling again, and you're looking around for Barry Manilow, and alas, you can't find either one of them because stirring up your emotions, which can be done, it's not going to linger. It's not going to last. Why? Despite the subject matter of the song, which sometimes is actually Jesus, but usually just about me, 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 that's not the knowledge that I need. And that is simply emotive manipulation. That's what you're getting manipulated. No, I'm not. Doesn't feel like that. No, it doesn't feel like that, but that's exactly what it is. If you're going to a silly center where they try to just get you whipped up and they do the insufferably long and we all get mystical with the MIDI going in the background and maybe a little piano here and there so that we can just, oh, yeah, just, yeah, oh, because, yeah, oh, man, yeah, oh, yeah. They're trying to manipulate you to get you into a state. And it doesn't last. That is the wrong way to do it. Here's another wrong way to gain assurance. I'm going to do it. You can't. You need something more. Now, please note, there is an element of that which is involved in assurance. We'll get to that. But what I'm talking about is just by sheer will, you are going to grind this out. That's it. I've got all the theological knowledge that I need. Okay, I believe it. I feel it. I'm changed by it. Doesn't work that way. Now, again, we're going to get to an element of that. But if you are trying to give yourself assurance, here's a third way that you wrongly try to gain assurance. You look at you are studying yourself. You are watching how you're living, what you're doing, how you're thinking, what fantasies you have, how much you're reading the Bible. When are you doing your quiet time, going to church? And you look at those issues and those things in your life and you realize you don't stack up because here's the reality. You don't. That's the whole point of our religion. We don't stack up. And we need Jesus every day. What is that? I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, Lord, how I need thee. Every single second of the day, you need him. And so if you're looking to yourself to see if you're saved, you're going to be in hot water. Having said that, should you see fruit? Of course, but that is not what I'm addressing. I'm simply stating that if you are a perpetual gazer in the mirror to see how you are doing, you are going to conclude not well. Now, better than you used to do, but not well. And it could drive you to despair. What are the right ways to go about getting assurance? Well, let's just tackle the two that I said we'd tackle later. Is there an element of you need to exercise your will a bit and just kind of, just believe it? And the answer to that is, yeah, you do have to do that. What would that look like, perhaps, without being too Bob Newhartish? When you feel yourself spiraling down, you need to, with your will, informed by your mind, say, hold it, stop. Is what I am thinking correct? Furthermore, are my feelings informing me rightly? And the answer to that question, if you are truly born again, please note the caveat, you've repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ. And you are genuinely saved. And you get that feeling, I think I'm not. Wrong. Stop it. What does the Bible say? What does Scripture say? That's the truth. I'm not going to let my feelings bumper car me around and through my spiritual walk. I'm not going to stop. And remind yourself that's a lie. Why? Because you know the truth, and then you need to think on it. All right. Oh, so why are you weary? Why are you weighed down and heavy with the feeling that you're not saved? What does Jesus say about you? He saves to the uttermost. Those who put their trust in him, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. He promises that if I just have a mustard seed-sized faith, I'm his. That's the truth. And there is an element of that that demands that you literally exercise your will and say, I'm not going to listen to feelings. I'm not going to listen, better yet, to lies which are causing the feelings. And you appropriate the truth by stopping, thinking about what is right, and believing it. Can you do that? It's not always easy. It requires some discipline. And that leads to other ways for you to have assurance. And there is a golden key in this that I think, wow, have we missed it as a church? Wow! That helps people who are struggling with assurance. There are means of growth for you. They're laid out for you in Acts chapter 2, where you are listening to preaching, you're reading your Bible. You are talking about Jesus with other believers. You are praying. You are celebrating the ordinances of the church, baptism and Lord's Supper. 2, not 7. You are doing those things. You're going to have more assurance. You're going to have more assurance. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. You struggle with that. Well, I don't pray as much as I should. Check that box. Yep, I feel that. I don't read the Bible as much. Yep, check that box. And you don't feel like doing those things sometime because they are indeed spiritual disciplines in the right understanding of the words. So what's the golden key to this? And I've discovered this not every time, but most times, that the people who are struggling with assurance are struggling to appropriate the means of grace and growth into their life because, get ready for it, here it comes, they're not a member of a local church. Oh, come on! There's no Bible verse that says you need to become a member. Well, actually, I think there is. You see, Matthew 18, you can't be disciplined if you are not a disciple in a church. And you deceive yourself if you think you don't need the church. I'm telling you, if you struggle with assurance, do this. Just do this. Find the best local church you can. Become a member. Oh, there's no thing in the Bible that's... Become a member of the church. You'll be held accountable and start serving. Not just showing up on Sunday morning. Start serving. Teaching. Going to classes. Volunteering. Do it. Do it. And your life is going to get radically reordered in the best sense. And people will hold you accountable. And your brain is going to be getting bathed in Bible. And you will have increasing assurance. God has provided means of grace. But the best way for those to be appropriated is in the context of your local church. Question, are you a member of a Bible-teaching church? This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, the head of Rabbi Zacharias International Ministries, Vince Vitale, and his wife, Joanna, have both announced their resignations from the ministry. The announcement came on July 28th, that was yesterday, in a joint statement on Facebook saying that they would be resigning next week. As well as being the head of RZIM in the U.S., Vince Vitale has co-authored books with the late Zacharias. His wife, Jo, also works for the ministry. The couple together ran the RZIM podcast called Ask Away. They explained the reason that they are now resigning as a conviction they've lived with since December. And quote, once we had done what we could to encourage a victim-centered response, it would be important for us to step into a substantial season of reordering. The Vitales apologized in February for perpetuating the lies of Rabbi Zacharias and hurting his victims. Also, they acknowledged that they failed to listen to Laurie Ann Thompson in 2017 when she first reported the abusive and predatory behavior of Zacharias. In March, RZIM announced that it would be changing its name and removing all of Zacharias' content. Well, a professor of medicine within the University of California system has apologized to his students for saying the word pregnant women instead of pregnant people in a medical classroom. According to the report, the professor sent an email to students apologizing for implying that only women can give birth. Yep, a medical professional who's responsible for teaching the next generation of medical professionals in our country felt the necessity to profusely apologize for saying that only women can deliver babies. This country. Joe Biden has proposed overturning a pro-life rule President Donald Trump issued that prohibited taxpayer funding in Obamacare, and Biden's proposal will hide the abortion funding from Americans who don't want their tax dollars used to fund ending the lives of unborn children. Republican lawmakers are pushing back, however, against the administration's plans to get rid of the rule that protects taxpayers from being forced to secretly fund abortions through Obamacare. In letters to Xavier Becerra, the head of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, more than 100 federal lawmakers slammed the plan as unethical and illegal. The Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, requires insurance companies to provide taxpayer-subsidized health plans under the law to collect separate premium payments for elective abortions. However, in 2014, a Government Accountability Office report found that the requirement was not being followed. Later, the Trump administration issued a rule clarifying that insurance companies must send separate bills for abortion coverage so that taxpayers are not forced to fund it. Now, the Biden administration is trying to reverse this action by allowing abortion coverage to be hidden with the monthly premium, so more babies can be murdered right under our noses. I'm sure all the babies that will be murdered as a result are sure glad that you are nice on Twitter. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 1646. The Westminster Confession is drafted in the Jerusalem room at Westminster Abbey. The confessions were drafted by an assembly of Episcopalians, Presbyterians, and Independents, and became the foundation of Reformed theology throughout Europe and America. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, as long as most folks are annoyed with us, this is Wretched Radio. A few days ago here on Wretched Radio, shared with you a snippet from Wretched Worldview, a new resource where we tackle 22 contentious issues. And when I say we, I mean me and Dr. Owen Strand. making our way through issues like national debt. Should a country be in debt? Should a family be in debt? Denominationalism, the character of politicians, guns, marijuana, cremation versus burial, all the stuff that we all have to work through. How do you do it biblically? That's what Wretched Worldview sets out to do. It is magnificent. Encourage you to consider availing yourself of that resource and the study guide and using it in your Sunday school. I'm telling you, it'll light it up. I think that used to be a cool term about 5 years ago. Wretched Worldview contains all of those subjects with a 7-step process to make your way through whatever issue that you're noodling through. And I mean it. The vaccination business, mass, all of it. It's got to go through a biblical filter. Got to do it. And that is what Dr. Owen Strand and I set out to do. And we shared with you a few days ago, stay-at-home moms. What do we do about stay-at-home moms? The world says, ugh. Evangelicals tend to say nothing because we've been mum on the subject. Why is it so contentious, and how do I know that it's one of the most contentious issues in the church and it's one of the most hot potato-y issues that divides? Because that's the issue that is always used to start to tear down a denomination. The camel's nose underneath the tent for any denomination, church, institution is going to be the role of women. Always has. I suspect it always will. Yeah, maybe you can find an exception here or there, but I think that would be the rule. And so it is, Dr. Owen Strand and I jumped in. And we're going to jump back in. We talked about stay-at-home moms. Dr. Owen Strand, yes, as the name would indicate, he's a man. But please remember, arguments do not have genders. An understanding of an issue is irrelevant with the subject of whether you're a pink or a blue. Doesn't matter. The question is, are you right or wrong? And for the Christian, the question is, are you biblical or not? That is the question. He's the former president of the Council of Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, which means he studied the subject a wee little bit. We dealt with pre-understandings. We want to get those out of the way. That's the first step. Whatever you think about working women, just lose it. Get rid of those ideas. We're going to check them by starting with explicit Bible verses.
So in Genesis 1, 27 and 29, we see that the Lord creates man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to him, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." It continues. The point for us is this: the man and the woman alike share in the dominion mandate. Yes, we do read that God says this to him, to Adam. So we know that Adam has a leadership role from the outset. That's going to be affirmed in Genesis 2 and also Genesis 3. Nonetheless, the man and the woman alike are supposed to fill the earth. How, quick question, is the man supposed to fill the earth, multiply, unless he and the woman come together in sexual union? You see, then, that men and women have a vital role each to play in fulfilling the dominion mandate. That's going to mean that they both do meaningful work, take dominion of all the earth. Moving on to Exodus 35, "And every skillful woman spun with her hands, and they all brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. All the women whose hearts stirred them to use their skill spun the goat's hair." Did you think we were going to goat hair?
Nope.
We went there. We did it. Goat hair. They could spin goat hair with their hands. They had all sorts of domestic abilities in this passage that are highlighted. And these women, these godly women in this passage, made beautiful things from them. So these women are working. It's all a matter of how you understand work. And that holds true with the Proverbs 31 woman as well. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. In the parlance of the 21st century, you might even say that the Proverbs 31 woman hustles, and she hustles hard. She even perhaps has a side hustle. I'm trying to think of other ways to use the word hustle.
Do the hustle?
Do the hustle.
Could you do the hustle?
She does the hustle. Okay, well, we could continue.
She's
the point
not a Baptist,
is,
then.
She's not Baptist, for sure. Not at all. Nonetheless, she is a hard worker. There's that word again. I can't even talk about womanhood in Proverbs 31 without using the word work, because the Proverbs 31 prototypical godly woman is a hard worker, which shows us that a godly woman in whatever context is going to be a hard worker. It just is the case that the Bible exalts domestic work. It's not that it debases outside of the home work for women. We don't want to come to that conclusion. We do just want to take note that the biblical parameters are set very strongly here, that domestic work counts. It has immense value. We've all been trained in a Marxist worldview today where the only job that has value is one that has a cool title, a corner office, and a six-figure salary, and it ain't true biblically. And verses like, passages like Proverbs 31 show us that. In Luke 8, we get a picture of other women who are working, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others, who provided for them out of their means. What this passage is saying is that the disciples are in part bankrolled by godly women from wealthy backgrounds who then use their wealth to bless the work of gospel promotion. Luke's gospel is teaching us this, and thus is deepening our understanding of what godly women are doing. They're contributing to nothing less than the work of the promotion of the gospel. 1 Timothy 5, in a couple places, talks to us about godly widows. If a widow is not less than 60 years old, she's enrolled on the list. That is a list that means that she gets care from the church, and she is thus cared for by the church, even in a financial and monetary way. So the church, in other words, set these widows aside in order that they would be provided for. Younger widows were called by Paul, on the other hand, to marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. So a younger widow was, interestingly, not called to go out into the market and find herself a job and be the one who provides for it. Instead, Paul's admonition, his direction, was for women in this position, this difficult position, to marry, to bear children, and to manage their household. So here again, we see that both Old and New Testament, again, greatly esteem a woman being in the home, loving her children, making that home, beautifying that home. There's tremendous value there, even as there are other contexts for a woman to work. Acts 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, and he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trades. Acts 16. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. What we're getting then is a complex picture here of, again, the Bible very much enfranchising domestic work, but also giving us these little snapshots of women who are engaging in economic trade, building a job for themselves, a vocation for themselves in appropriate ways. And so I think we're really getting some clarity on how the Bible approaches the very thorny subject of working women. Yes, right. Mr. Friel.
We don't want to put context over the Bible and force a translation or an interpretation of the text. But how much should we understand the context of women, mothers, wives, whether it's Proverbs 31 or in the New Testament church, how closely associated work was with home, both for men and women, that it was within 100 yards probably of the home? Because I do hear a lot of Christians say, well, the Proverbs 31 woman, she was out doing commerce and trading. They seem to impose kind of a 21st century motif. So that's like going off to the office, taking the subway to get there. But it seems that the context of the Old Testament and the New Testament is they were doing that work really close to home. Am I putting too much on that, or putting too little on my historical context of understanding how people worked in those days?
I think that's accurate. And the Proverbs 31 woman in particular is doing all her out and about work in such a way that it bears on her home. So she's selling goods. She's not, in other words, out with her husband at the city gates. We know from the early verses of Proverbs 31 that he has gone out to the city gates to sit with the city elders, whereas this woman is not doing that. What she is doing is contributing to the economic welfare of her home, not in a way that's distant from her home, that takes her away for hours upon hours, but is involved in the marketplace. But then it's all bearing on the home.
Dr. Owen Strand, former president, counsel, biblical manhood and womanhood, walking us through seven steps. How do we wrangle through the issue of women, work, staying at home? It's on Wretched Worldview. We'll continue next on Wretched Radio. If and you think there are assaults on biblical truth in the good old U.S. of A., oh, travel overseas. Those assaults do not stay inside of our borders. And that is why Dr. John MacArthur, leading the Master's Academy International mini seminaries all throughout the world in 17 different nations, equipping pastors to rightly divide the word, fill empty pulpits, and defend the truth.
The foundation of all ministry is having a firm grasp of the authority and inerrancy of Scripture. The age of tolerance in which we live has caused guys to soften their message, which means you eliminate certain things in Scripture or you soften the message. Young guys that are coming into the ministry need to reaffirm their commitment to the authority and power of Scripture.
Please support that effort through the Master's Academy International, wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
What is a worldview? Simply put, it's how people view the world. Not physically, though, but rather a comprehensive viewpoint on everything that exists and matters. And these days, most evangelicals have adopted a dualistic worldview, which means that they place Christianity in the realm of faith, while logic, reason, science, and even morality are fixed in the realm of reality. And the results have been pretty evident. Christians who are operating without a proper Christian worldview. And our newest resource, Wretched Worldview, seeks to change all that. Todd Friel and Dr. Owen Strand gather to tackle 22 tough contemporary issues through a biblical lens that puts our Christian worldview into clear focus. Not to tell you what to think, but how to think these issues through. Wretched Worldview also comes with a study guide, which is perfect for any Bible study or Sunday school class. Order your copy today at wretched.org/worldview. That's wretched.org/worldview.
You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çakale. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month. 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. When Habakkuk saw violence and injustice in Judah, he complained to God. God promised to use the Chaldeans to punish Judah. But Habakkuk complained that they were even worse than Judah. God said that he would punish the Chaldeans after using them to purify Judah. God uses all things for his glory and the good of his people, even evil things. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sorry, I'm choking on the cultural air. This is Wretched Radio, the subject of roles of men and women. Isn't it one that we all, and I mean I too, have to kind of couch? I've even been doing that. And I have a different opinion about the role of men and women than the world. But because of the pressure of the world that's like, hey, women need to be like this, when the Bible comes along and says, actually, the role of women is more like this. We feel the pressure, and we as that we have breathed in cultural air to be like, okay, so look, I know this subject here is kind of like, hang on, ladies, don't beat me with a frying pan. Ah, did I say frying pan? Women can't have frying. What I'm trying to say is, what is that? Breathing in the cultural air. The Bible is the book that tells us the best system for men and women, contrary to what the world says. And so it is in Wretched Worldview. Dr. Owen Strand and I attempt to work through. It is a big subject, and it makes it especially tricky because, for instance, in Psalm 31, you see a woman, she's taking care of the home, she's working, and you would go, whoa, that's a woman who's got it all. Well, in the context, her work was no doubt associated to the family. Was she busy working with the family business? Yeah, along with dad and the kids. And dad was busy working the family business and dealing with the kids. It's a different context that we live in today. And we have a tendency to take this context, our 21st century air, and appropriate it and try to figure out what it looks like in our homes. It's not an easy issue. You've got cultural distance. You've got time distance. You've got worldly pressures that need to be swept away so that we can submit totally to the Bible and work through the subject. Seven steps. We lose our pre-understandings. We then take a look at explicit, implicit Bible verses, then ask, how does the gospel inform this subject? We'll continue with Dr. Owen Strand from Wretched Worldview, available at wretched.org.
Would you say that the Proverbs 31 woman, because we have a tendency to bring 21st century paradigms to pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Do you think the Proverbs 31 woman, though, was getting up early and perhaps dropping off the kids someplace to leave and go work that week for 40 or 50 hours that week and then come back to the home or put in an 8 or 10 hour day? Is that the picture of the Proverbs 31 woman?
I don't think it is at all. That's what I'm getting at when I say all her work is bearing on the home. She's a busy woman. She's doing all sorts of things. She's very clearly caring for her home in all sorts of ways and is actually physically located in her home. Her daily events do take her outside the home at points, but Christian women today are going to find different avenues, even when kids are in the home, let's say, of finding different ways to help provide. But they don't have that primary role of provider. The Old and New Testament really are teaching men, training men to have this primary role of provider when there's the context of a family. Let's continue and think about how the gospel informs the subject of working women. There are three matters to highlight. First, the gospel frees women from worldly thinking, expectations, and pressure. Second, the gospel causes women to love biblical womanhood and thus embrace the home and the family as God calls. Biblical womanhood is beautiful. It's totally distinct. Please understand me. Totally distinct from secular womanhood. There is creation order. God has a design for women and for men. That design is beautiful and good, and it means that women are enabled and called to love the home and love the family. Now,
before he nows, might I ask you to go through the recesses of the Rolodex in your brain to remember visiting people's homes, perhaps in your childhood? Did you ever enter into somebody's house and it just smelled good? It just smelled good. Well, maybe it was something that was being cooked, but it smells clean and it smells good. And it has a vibe about it that feels good. And then you perhaps with your friend, you are served by this lovely lady who is so kind and so warm toward you. And you eat that hot apple crisp that came right out of the oven. And yep, she's got a scoop of vanilla ice cream for you. And just in case that ain't enough, do you like caramel sauce on top of it too? And while you're in that home, you just feel calm and you feel safe. That's a Christian home. That's the type of home that a godly woman and a godly woman alone can cultivate. and bring about. And if we have a tendency to think, oh, working at home, it's such a nothing. Was it a nothing when you were, could you imagine living in that home every day? What would that do to your character and your formation? What would that do for you on a daily basis to know, no matter what's going on out here in the battle zone, I have safe harbor and it is sweet in my home? That affects everybody. Dad, it affects mom, who's responsible for it and doing a bang-up job doing it, and the kids. Even the pets are happier. We undervalue what it means to be a woman who takes care of a home. It is not a small thing. Now back to Owens now.
There are all sorts of situations modern women are going to face, modern Christian women. Some want to be married and aren't. Some have pursued the home and haven't been given that gift in the form they would like it. They have freedom in some of these areas, and we need to make that clear. We just want to be very clear that whatever a woman's situation, biblical womanhood is beautiful. Third, the gospel enables women to take dominion of their world in a variety of ways, including workplace work. Further, when children are out of the home, a Christian woman, I think, is freed up in all sorts of ways to ask new questions about what she does with her time. She has raised her children. She has honored what Paul says in Titus 2 and 1 Timothy 5. She's done that charge. Now what does she do? I think women have freedom. I don't think women need to feel pressure now to have a full-time job, so to speak, but I think that they do have that possibility of moving into that. They are free. The gospel really does bless you, call you into a way of life, and then take those shackles that the world wants to put on you. What's
Before he goes any further, basically what I hear him saying is that during different phases and stages of life, depending on the dynamics and the circumstances, it can look different. That isn't the case in some religions. I'm not suggesting the religion of pieces is in view here, where it's just, this is it. The end. No variance. Boom, the end. The Bible's more brilliant than that. A woman before having children, single, the kids are out of the net, maybe they're in school. There is flexibility here. But again, the Bible keeps pointing us toward a woman and home. And the only reason that makes us blanch is because we've breathed in too much cultural air and we have forgotten how sweet a beautiful home is.
Historic Christian position about working women. Christians have historically seen a woman's contribution in the home as work. Working in the home is working. It does not only count as work if you get a paycheck for it. And 16% of that paycheck is already gone because of taxes. That is not only the kind of work that counts. Work that counts is also work in the home. A wife, too, Luther says, should regard her duties in the same light as she suckles the child, rocks and bathes it, and cares for it in other ways, and as she busies herself with other duties and renders help and obedience to her husband. These are truly golden and noble works. Next thing we need to say historically is that the modern workplace and changing family dynamics mean that there is increased gray area in our time with regard to women and work. We've already talked about this, but we should be very clear that yes, if you are in a position where you're not married and you don't have kids, or if you're married and kids have not come along yet, in God's goodness, there are a range of possibilities for a woman, just as there are when a woman has raised her children. When those kids are out of the home, she has a whole new set of questions before her. Personal testimony. What are some matters we should think about in light of our personal testimony? Does my life reflect obedience to and honoring of the biblical worldview? Am I displaying the distinctiveness of biblical womanhood? Not me personally, but a Christian woman. This is something she would ask. Number two, how can I display the beauty of divine design in my life and thus point people to the reality of God's rulership over all things? Third, how do I live in a world that denies divine design and be a thoughtful, gracious witness amidst people who disagree with me? Look, I think actually this is where there can be a ton of evangelism and lived apologetics. When men live a certain way because of God's grace and women live a certain way.
Gotta stop it right there. Want to hear the rest? It's available at wretched.org. It's Wretched Worldview. Dr. Owen Strand, 22 big subjects tackled biblically. You heard the seven steps. Get rid of your pre-understandings. Explicit Bible versus implicit Bible versus gospel. Historic church understanding of the issue. How does this affect my personal testimony? Those are the steps you must take. Then you deal with your objections. It's Wretched Worldview. It is at wretched.org. Be encouraged, Mom, who is focused on the nourishing of your home. And may I ask you to please be praying for Jimmy. He's going to be preaching at his grandpa's funeral. And they were pals. Be praying for him. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.